strengths. What are the things that God can do? Now, I want you to look at verse 1 again, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. You ever get tired serving God? Sure. Sometimes you feel like you're beating your head up against a wall, and sometimes you feel like you take two steps forward and three steps back. You want to serve God, and boy, you're just bombarded. You know, it's amazing how many people get sick on Sunday. And some of it is legitimate. Some of it's not. Some of it is an excuse just not to be able to come to church, but they'll get up and go to work on Monday, and that's no problem. But it's amazing how many people do get sick on Sunday. The devil does a lot of things like that. But here's the thing I want you to see. It is easy, and in this particular passage, we're going to look at later on, not tonight, but on down, the Bible talks about the different problems and the different things that come into our lives that prevent us from doing God's work. But I want you to think about this. What is going to stop you from doing this ministry, God's work? What is Satan going to come along, and what are you going to do to stop serving God? What are you going to do that you look at your life and you see what has taken place and you say, God, I can't do this ministry. I can't do this work anymore. But then he goes over to verse 2. And I want you to notice verse 2, he gives us several things about the ministry, about the work of God. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, I want you to notice several things that God said. First of all, everything we do must be based upon the Word of God. Again, we have a ministry, twofold ministry, to reach the lost, to build the believers. And we do that by the Word of God. We don't do that by having fun activities. Now, we have fun. We enjoy ourselves. The boys and girls had a great time yesterday, and we appreciate all those who came and helped in different things. And we can have fun as a Christian. We can enjoy fellowships and different things like that. But our main ministry is the Word of God. Our main ministry is to give out the Bible. Our main ministry is to be built on the Word of God. But I want you to look at four things that the Word of God tells us that we are to do. I want you to see this. This is all based on the Word of God. Okay? Now, notice it says we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, this is, again, is referring to the Word of God. We are to pattern our lives after the Word of God, that it is not a lie or not something that other people can't, or other people are hidden from other people. If it's inside, it needs to come out. If it's in our heart, it needs to be showing. But I want you to see something. It says, you have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Now, what Paul was referring to as he was talking to the church at Corinth, in Paul's day, there were groups of people who gathered together, and they took the word of God, and by craftiness or sleight of hand, they tricked people into believing things that were not true. As Paul began to preach at Corinth especially, there were situations, there were problems, there were things that came into the local church that were not biblical, that were not founded on the Word of God, and they were being taught as truth. Folks, we are bombarded every day in our Christian life about things that are not true. Let me give you a case in point. There are some churches who try to hold people to a certain standard or a certain way of living that's not scriptural. I mentioned this before. You get into, you look at some of the cults, you get into some of the different things, and the reason why people do what they do in the church is to keep people in the church. They do it deceitfully. We mentioned a while back about the idea of infant baptism. The Roman Catholic Church devised a plan, and you can go back and see, infant baptism came on the scene somewhere around the 3rd or 4th century. And it was an edict by the Pope saying that in order to be part of the Catholic Church, you must be baptized as a baby. Now, that sounds good. And what they would do is they would come to the parents and they would say, now, you want your child to be part of the church. You want your child to be able to go to heaven. You want your child to be able to be part of the family of God. In order to do that, you must be baptized. Okay? What good parent is going to refuse what the Pope was saying and refusing? We want our child to be saved. We want our child to be able to go to heaven. We want our child to be part of the family of God, so we're going to baptize them. And baptism of infants became a doctrinal statement. And again, you can go back and check right around the 3rd or 4th century as Constantine began the organized religion and began to organize a group of people, which called the Catholic Church. And folks, by the way, the Catholic Church was not founded before the Christian Church or the Christians. That was founded later on. They claim that they are the only church, and that is not the case, and that is not what the Word of God teaches. But here's the thing. They use these things out of craftiness to draw people or to seduce people or to trick people to believing things that are not true. There are many denominations today that are preaching things and teaching things that are not true. Some people teach erroneously about the idea of giving to the church. The more you give to the church, the more God's going to bless you. Now, folks, God will bless you for giving. But the principle is not the more you give, the more you're going to get back. That's what they teach. They teach the more you give to the church, the more you're going to get back. Folks, that's not scriptural. The Word of God says God will reward you and bless you over and above what you can give, and you can't give out give God. But the thing is, it's not what we give or what we get that matters, is what we give. God wants us to give what we have. But what we do sometimes, if we're not careful, we have hidden things of dishonesty. We don't walk. We walk in craftiness, or we take things and we don't live by the Word of God. I want you to notice another thing. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Now, folks, we need to be careful when we give out the Word of God. You that are teaching, you need to be asking the Lord to guide your lips as you speak, as you talk about the things of God. I was sharing with my Sunday school class this morning, as a pastor, I have an obligation as I stand before people to teach and preach the Word of God with truth. This is the Word of God. This is not just another book. This is not just something that takes place. This is God's Word. We need to handle it very deceitfully. We need to handle it, or not deceitfully. We need to handle it in such a way that we're giving glory and honor to God. When I step into this pulpit and preach, it's not my words that matter. It's God's words. It's not what I think about a particular matter. It's not what I believe in my heart. My feelings, my thinking has no play. It's what God says. But I want you to see this. Seeing we have this ministry, we have a work to do. And the work is based totally upon the Word of God. It is based on what we're doing with the Bible. And then I want you to look at the end of verse 2. It says, by the manifestation, the word manifestation means to make known, of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You are a living Bible to every single person you come in contact with. Now, I want you to see this. As you live your life before people, you are a living Bible. People see Christ in you. And here's what it all boils down to. What are you doing with the Word of God? What are you doing with the Word of God? Let me give you four things that we should be doing with the Word of God. I encourage you to write these down and be thinking about it. First of all, we need to study it daily. Study the Word of God daily. You would be surprised if I were to ask on some Sunday morning how many people read their Bible that week at least one time during the week. You say, Pastor, wouldn't there be more people than you think that would read their Bible one time? You would be shocked. You would be shocked. Folks, we need to study the Word of God. Studying the Word of God means that you get into the Word of God. You have your own personal quiet time. You and God get into the Word of God. Again, I've mentioned this before. As a pastor, I'm in the Word of God so much, and there are so many things that I'm studying. As I usually speak on, usually on any occasion, four times plus a week. And in the Word of God constantly, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and preparing, and my mind is always thinking and going. It is difficult sometimes for me to get into the Word of God and get something for me. What I have to do in my own private devotion time, as I read through the Word of God, I beg God, I ask God, God, speak to my heart, give me something. And if we're not careful, we get too familiar with the Word of God, and we no longer need to have the Word of God daily in our hearts. I was shocked. This happened years ago, shortly after I first came here to Chambersburg. I'm not going to mention this person's name. They're in heaven now. But I had a godly person in this church. They came to me. They were talking, and they said, Pastor, we appreciate what you're doing, but we disagree with you on something. I said, okay, what is that? I don't have to study the Word of God anymore. I said, okay. I said, explain yourself. They said, I already know all the Word of God that I need to know. There's nothing more that you can teach me. There's nothing more than anybody else can say to me. I don't need to study the Word of God. I picked myself off the floor and said, okay. Then, what's your purpose? Why are you here? Oh, my job is to teach others. Folks, how can you be teaching others if you're not being fed yourself? How can you be instructing other people and giving guidance to other people? How can you help somebody else when you yourself are not studying the Word of God daily? I know there's times that busy schedules and things come up and it's hard to get into the Word of God. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. Sometimes you've got to get up a little early. Sometimes you've got to stay up a little bit later at night. Sometimes you've got to find a time that you get into the Word of God. You have a place to find and go and study the Word of God. Now, sometimes, depending on what's going on in our house, we have crazy times. We have a lot of people in our home, and sometimes our home is bustling and things are happening, and it is difficult to find a quiet place. I found in my house, if I get up early in the morning, usually we can find a quiet time. I was up yesterday morning and thinking and studying and going over some things. But you know, sometimes we've got to get up early. Sometimes we've got to, and I get up early on Sunday. I come down here and spend time, and I was praying in the auditorium this morning that God would just do something great. I knew different folks would be gone and different people, key people, would not be able to be here. And God bless. We had a great day. We thank the Lord for what He did. Now, here's the thing. Studying the Word of God. Studying the Word of God daily by yourselves. Getting something from the Word of God. You know, people who come to church, and you need to be in church. Don't get me wrong. You need to be in church and hearing Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and hearing what God has. But you need time by yourself to get into the Word of God. Let me give you another thing. Number two, we need to share it with others. We need to share the Word of God with other people. Now, go back up to verse 1. Let me show you something. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. This ministry is based on the Word of God. This ministry is based on what God says. And what we have to do, we have to share the Word of God with other people. Now, think about this. What are you doing to give out the Word of God? We have tracts in the back. And some people take them, some don't. We have church brochures. Some people take them, some people don't. We have other means of witnessing. Some people use those things and some people don't. But you know what? It's amazing. We have the calendars also back there. Different people use those. It is amazing how many Christians never once tell anybody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. You never invite anybody out to church. You never encourage someone to come and hear what is going on. Folks, we have this ministry. We have this work of God before us, and what God wants us to do is not base it on ourselves. This church and any other church should not be based on people. It's based on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on what God does. But we have this ministry, and we need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be sharing it with other people. We need to give out the Word of God. We need to let people know, hey, it's real. It's real. Man alive, I remember when my wife and I, when we had our first child, Michael, man, we were so excited. We didn't know what was going on. We were just excited. We were thrilled. Kenny came along, and we were just as excited. Stephen came along. We didn't care. No, I mean, I'm sorry, Stephen. We always tell Stephen, joking with him, he's adopted, but no, he's not. We pick at him. But here's the thing. Now, by the time Stephen came along, I remember very vividly, I had a whole list of people that I had to call. Soon as Stephen came into the world and everything was good, I had a whole list. And I remember sitting in the hospital room that day, on June 26th, and I went down through a list of probably 15, 20 people I had to call. Now, when Michael came along, the list was shorter. And when Kenny came along, it was a little longer. And then Stephen came along, it was a little longer yet. But I was excited. Man, I couldn't wait to tell people. I couldn't wait. I was thrilled. I remember when Stephen was born, especially Michael and Kenny were older. And one of the things that I always tried to do was make all of our children feel very special. When Stephen was born that afternoon, I took Michael and Kenny out for lunch. We went to Burger King, I think, and we sat for lunch and we were talking, and I was telling them, you've got a new baby brother. And Kenny wasn't too sure about the whole thing because he enjoyed being the baby of the family. He wasn't really too thrilled about somebody else coming along. Michael was ecstatic. Oh, he couldn't wait to see his baby brother. He was so excited. Oh, he was just thrilled. First day Michael held Stephen, he dropped him, right? No, that's what happened to him. No. Michael loved Stephen. He loved taking care of him, watching after him. But here's the thing. I was excited about what God had done for our family. But you know what? There's so many Christians that don't get excited about their church and about this ministry that God has put them in, and they push things aside. They do the same things. They just continue on. And what they do is, it does not matter what I do or what I don't do. Folks, this ministry is of God. And what we have to do is get a vision, get a zeal, get on fire for the things of God and say, I want to do something. I want to share with people about the things of God. When I'm out visiting, when I talk to people, I'm very honest with people. I'll tell them, folks, we've got the best church in all the area. I'm jealous. I'm prejudiced. I'm prejudiced. This is the best church in all the area. You need to come. You need to come and hear what's going on, what's taking place. We need to study the Word of God daily. We need to share it with others. Number three, we need to show it in our lives as a testimony to those that are around. I want you to think about this. As I mentioned this earlier, we are an open Bible to the world. What people see in our lives is a testimony to everybody around. People need to see God in you. But folks, I want to tell you something. This ministry that God has given us, this work that God has placed within our hands. If people can't see Christ in our lives, I'm not saying never sin, never do anything wrong. Folks, every single one of us, including myself, we all do things that are wrong. We all sin against God. None of us are perfect. None of us are to the point that we live in sinless perfection. I've met very few people in my life who think they never do anything wrong. I've met some. I've met some folks who think, oh yeah, I'm perfect. I never do anything wrong. But people need to look at your life and they need to say, I want what you've got. I want that peace that you have. I want that joy, the Lord, that you have. I want that zeal that you have. I want that strength that you have. I want what you've got. But here's the problem. If we're not in the Word of God, and the Word of God is not based, or our ministry is not based on the Word of God, we have nothing to show. We have nothing to show what God is doing. You know, I'm amazed and how many people claim that they go to church, that they're in church and they're in a ministry, but yet they never attend, they never go, they never do anything. And people know. People see them. Family, people, other people know what is going on. I never forget the time that Mr. T and I were out visiting. This was early in the ministry here. We ran across a particular lady, and man, we went to knocked on her door, and Mr. T asked her what church she went to. She said, oh, I go to Chambersburg Baptist. I thought to myself, what can I say? You know? She kept going on. She said, man, I go down to Chambersburg Baptist. I'm there every Sunday. I'm there and I'm faithful. I never miss. Man, she was just digging herself deeper and deeper. Finally, I get up the courage and I said, well, ma'am, I said, I'm the pastor of the church and I've been there for about this was almost a year later. I've been there about a year. You know, funny thing, I've never seen you once in our church. Boy, she got about as white as white could be and she started stammering and all kinds. Oh, I must have the wrong church. Folks, how many Chambersburg Baptist churches are there? I mean, come on, this is not a common name. But here's what happens. People look at our lives and they see something. Either they want what you've got or they say, I don't want anything you have. It's all based on the Word of God. Let me give you the last thing. We need to stand on the truths. We need to stand on the truths. Now I want you to think about this for just a moment. Folks, we need to know what we believe. We need to know what the Word of God teaches. We need to know what the Bible teaches about eternal security. We need to know what the Bible teaches about the rewards in heaven. We need to know about what the Bible teaches about who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. We need to know the doctrines that are found through the Word of God, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We need to know these things. We need to be able to take these things and be able to talk to people and say, this is what I stand on, this is what I believe. I read an article, I mentioned this right around Easter time, about some seminaries that were training men and women for the gospel. Very shocking thing. 68% of the professors of this one particular seminary, this was a Baptist seminary, by the way, did not believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thought about that, and I read that, and looked at that, and I thought, these are the folks that are teaching and training men and women to go in the ministry. Yet they don't believe the doctrinal beliefs of the Word of God. Folks, if we don't have the resurrection, we don't have anything. Forget it. Pack it up. Go home. If Jesus never rose again, we don't have a thing. But can you prove it from the Word of God? Can you prove that Jesus is resurrected? Can you take the Word of God and say, this is what I stand on? If someone were to ask you, how do you know you have eternal life and you can never lose it? Can you prove it from the Word of God? You see, so many times we think, well, you know, God didn't call me into the ministry. But God says we have this ministry. God never called me to be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or anything else. I'm just here. Folks, you've got a ministry. You've got a place that God wants you to be in. But I want you to think about this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, receive mercy, and we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, we need to stand on the word of God. We need to stand on the promises. We need to stand on what God says. We need to know what we believe. But here's the thing I want you to see. Here's the crux of this message. We have this ministry. We have a work of God that God has told us to do. God has not left us alone. God has not said, you're on your own, you do what you want to. You know, I have different people come up to me and say, well, Pastor, where did you get that particular message at? What book or where did you find that? I say, well, I got it right out of the Word of God. This is God's Word. Well, Pastor, how did you do that? Well, God shows me and speaks to my heart and lays something here and we present it to you. But everything we do, we need to say, is based on the Word of God. It's based on what God says. And we stand on the promises of God and we say, you know, this is what God wants. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand strong. Does it matter what everybody else is doing? Does it matter what's happening? Does it matter what's going on in our world? What we say, I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to share the Word of God with other people. I'm going to show it in my life. I'm going to let people see it's real. But I'm going to stand on the promises. I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to believe what God says. And you know, folks, it's a thrill when you go through the Word of God and you see a promise that God has given you. And you think about that and you say, wow, that's great. That's an awesome thought. So many times I'm reminded over and over and over again how great our God is, how vital God is in our lives, how we can't make it a day without Him. Oh, we try. I've honestly, over the years, have not understood how or why people could make it one day without the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. I run into people all the time. Talk to people all the time. Oh, I don't need God. I'm getting along just fine without God. I don't need God. I was going to mention this morning, and I forgot to, about giving out, distributing the Word of God. This is something that hasn't taken place too often, but they were, several years ago, they came up with an idea of non-Bible rooms in motels. Guess who came up with that idea? The atheist. They wanted to go to, you've heard of non-smoking rooms. Well, they wanted to go into a room with a non-Bible in it. The idea didn't fly too good. It took off, but there are very few rooms, and most of the motels now have canceled that particular thing. There was lack of interest. They would have special rooms designated non-Bible rooms. Guess what? No one rented those rooms. The Word of God is important. The Word of God is vital. The Word of God is in our life. And folks, what are we doing? What are we doing with the Word of God? In this particular passage, again, as we look at this, seeing we have this ministry, as we go through this particular chapter, we will realize we have got a job to do. And folks, it is mind-boggling. It is far greater than we can ever imagine. And God has given us step by step how we're to do things and what we're to do and what is taking place. We actually, tonight, didn't even finish the message that God had. We're going to get into the gospel is hidden next week, verses 3 and 4. We'll cover that. But I want you to think about the plan that God has.